Thank you for joining us for another power-packed message provided by Monroe Global Incorporated and monroeglobal.com. We transform followers into leaders and leaders into agents of change. We hope that this message is a blessing to you as you advance your life and discover your purpose. Now, let's go into the message.
How to face the future with fearless confidence, part 3. Turn to Isaiah 46 and then please take some notes. I want to begin this session with a statement and then a couple of examples I want you to remember if you can. The greatest mystery in life is that your destiny was chosen by God, but its fulfillment is decided by you. I want to say it again. Your destiny is chosen by God, but its fulfillment is decided by you. That's a heavy responsibility. In other words, God has already completed your life, and He has written a book on you and finished your life, and you are already successful. But making it to the end of that destiny is your decision. It's like a parent who pays thousands of dollars for their child to go to college because the parent already sees a degree. But the child goes to college, and instead of participating and disciplining and studying, the child wastes his time, keeps company that distracts him or her, and the child does not graduate. In other words, the parent's destiny is already set for the child, but whether the child graduates is decided by the child. That's the way God has your life. You have already been chosen by God to succeed, but you have to cooperate with that decision to make sure you arrive at God's results for you. Is that clear? Let me tell you a little story that has blessed me over a period of time as I think about it more and more. There was an old man, they call him the Oracle. This is a sage, an old man, and this is a true story. Way out in the eastern countries, he was the village wise man, and everybody who had problems went to him to give him their problems, and he would give them advice. He was a very wise man, and they called him the Oracle, the man who was the voice, who had the word. And he was helping people with their problems, giving them wisdom. Two young boys decided that they are going to trick the old man so that they can make him look like he's a fool. He doesn't have wisdom. So the two young boys decided that they're going to do something. So they caught a little bird, a small little bird, and they took it in their hands, and the bird was alive and everything. And they said, what we'll do is we'll go to visit the Oracle, and we'll hold the bird in our hands behind our backs, and we'll ask the Oracle if the bird is alive or dead. Let's see how smart he is. If he says he's dead, we will keep him alive. If he says he's alive, then I'll squeeze him and he'll be dead, and we'll make the Oracle look like a fool. So they thought it was a great idea. So they went to his little hut, and they knocked on the door, and he opened the door, and the old man twinkled in his eyes with his beard and everything. He looked at them, and the young boys were giggling, and they said, excuse me, sir, we want to ask you a puzzle, if you can solve it for us, please. Behind our backs, we have a bird. Can you tell us whether it's alive or dead? Interesting question. The old man looked at them for a minute, and then he smiled, and he said, whether he's alive or dead is up to you. You see, that's exactly what your life is. God gave you a bird. It's your life. And whether that life succeeds or fails is not up to God. In other words, that decision lies within your hands. That is why this year, what happens this year, is not up to God. He's already planned your year for you. It's now up to us to decide, what are we going to do? You know, write this down, please. Your future is certain. Whether you arrive there is up to you. God has already decided your future, and it's a good one. But you don't have to arrive there. You can decide another future. Many of us have been facing a lot of difficulties in the past, and you will face difficulties this year. Problems and difficulties are wonderful because they literally force you to grow. You never grow in good times. I repeat, you never grow in good times. Pressure is the incubator for progress. Here's a mountain, Mount Everest, the highest mountain in the world. And one of the great names connected to Mount Everest is a man named Mallory. In the 1920s, Mallory, the great mountain climber, took his team to climb Mount Everest. And Mallory's expedition was a failure. He almost went to the top, and suddenly there was a massive snowdrift, and it came down. And Mallory's expedition was stopped. He was killed. Most of his team was killed. He never made it. But a couple of them survived, and they had a banquet a few weeks after that in honor of this great man and his attempt to climb this mountain. And the survivor that they had present, they invite him to speak on behalf of the team that had died. And this man did something and said something I will never forget. He stood there and he looked at the crowd. Tears came to his eyes because they were showing the photographs of the expedition and the leaders. And he remembered how he escaped. And here's what he says. He said, "Mount Everest, you beat us once. Mount Everest, you beat us twice. You defeated us because we didn't make it. And on the third try, you defeated us and you killed us. You killed our leader." He said, "But there's one thing I know, Mount Everest. We will defeat you." Now, here's the highest mountain in the world. No one had ever climbed it. No one had succeeded. People were killed every time they tried. And this last group were killed except these couple of survivors. And here's this guy saying, "I don't care how many died, we will defeat you, Mount Everest." And here's why. He says, "Because you cannot get any bigger, but we can." What an attitude. Mountains don't grow, but you and I do. In other words, we're going to find a way. You can't get any bigger. You are set. But we will find a way to defeat you. And you know, friends, the next expedition was successful. I have come here to tell you that the things that you are facing cannot get any bigger. But you can. Your faith can get bigger than the mountain you face. That's why you can tell any mountain this year, I will defeat you. Say it with me. I will defeat you. No matter what you face, you remember that your future is already set. Something I thought was interesting, a statement I wrote down, and I keep this pretty close to me in my Bible. It says, it takes just as much faith to believe you are going to fail as it takes to believe you are going to succeed. So you might as well use the faith properly. What is faith? Belief. If you believe you're not going to succeed, you won't. But you're wasting your belief. You might as well use it on believing you're going to succeed. And that's why they conquered Mount Everest. I challenge you, this wonderful new opportunity you have this year, to stay in the mode of positive faith. I will succeed this year. I will. How do we know the future is so sure? I want to review this very quickly. Write this down if you didn't, or buy this tape or CD. Number one, the future of purpose is very clear. The future of all creation is hidden in creation. That's number one. Number two, the future existed before the present. And number three, the future is unmanifested purpose. Your future is already there, but not manifested. Number four, the future of a product is in the manufacturer's past. The manufacturer always knows the future of his product. And number five, the future is unreleased destiny. Number six, the future is your predestination. And number seven, your future is God's past. He's already been there. And that's why you can have peace. And number eight, the future is the end trapped in the beginning. Say that with me. The future is the end trapped in the beginning. Here's an apple. I was going to bring one today, but I figured this is good enough. If you open that apple, in that apple you'll find a little group of seeds, little black seeds there. Do you know that in those seeds are apple trees? Do you agree? Yes, and there are apples in those seeds as well, right? Yeah. So that means the future of that apple is inside the apple, and the future of the apple seed is inside the seed. That's why I say God places the future of everything in itself. The attitude, therefore, that we've been getting is that our future is ahead of us. And that's not true. Your future is not ahead of you. It's trapped within you. Very important. Number two, you possess your future when? Now. Apples possess their seeds now. And seeds possess trees now. And so it is everything God created. an egg is a chicken. Now, all it needs is a little process. The future of everything is in the thing. So when you approach life through the years, you got to remember, this year is in me. Oh, help me, Jesus. I made a decision for this year. And I'm praying for God to help me keep it. My decision is that this year will be 5-1. Anybody made that with me? Holy Spirit said to me, I'm going to do in 1 year what it takes 5 years to do. He said, but you got to work with me. I told him, I'm working with him. He said, therefore, you got to be careful who you allow to waste your time. Hallelujah. Some of the things that you've been putting up with, you can't put up with anymore. There's some things you have to forget about this year in order to move on to things you're supposed to do. There are some people you're going to have to forget this year to move on to what you have to do. Very important. Number three, God is committed to the future He placed in you. And this is very important. We talked about this last time. And number four, your future is more important than your past. It's always good to remember that no matter what happens in the past, it's not as important as your future. So don't live in the past. Number five, your future is more valuable than your past. No matter how great you have been in the past, there's something greater on the inside. No matter how much you've accomplished in the past, there's more to accomplish on the inside. I made a statement last week, I'll make it again, and that is, what is around you is not as important as what is in you. It's more important to know that God's deposit is more powerful than the things that happen around you. Paul the apostle said it this way, greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. You must believe in that deposit. Number six, your future is more powerful than your past. Oh, I tell you, this one is a blessing. Number seven, Jesus died to forgive your past, but also to salvage your future. I believe that Jesus is more concerned about your future than your past because He took care of your past by throwing it away. He threw it in a place called the Sea of Forgetfulness because He doesn't even want to think about it anymore. And that is why you shouldn't think about it anymore. The only person that can condemn you and do something about the condemnation is God. Oh boy, talking to myself this morning. Let me tell you, half of the people you worried about finding out about your past ain't worth worrying about. Because if God be for you, who can be against you? This is why it is important. Now listen to me carefully because I've seen some of our people make mistakes here, even in this local assembly and around the world. When you do something stupid, when you make a mistake, when you fail, or if you sin, or if you do something that is ungodly, the first thing you must do is be honest. I beg you, be honest. Because God cannot help you if you are not honest. That's why the Bible says, confess your sins. The word confess doesn't mean to actually say things, you know. The word confess means to agree. Very interesting word in the Greek language. It means to agree with God. In essence, if God says that's wrong, agree quickly and say, yeah, that's wrong. But if you keep pretending it ain't wrong, God can't forgive you. He can't release you from it. It's important that you learn how to deal with your past so your past has no effect on your future. I discovered the Apostle Paul. The Apostle Paul was an accomplice to serial killing. Is that too big a word for you? The Apostle Paul was in cahoots with murdering. Is that too deep for you? Another one. Paul was a killer. Okay, Paul killed so many people, we're not sure how many, we don't know the number. But you know what Paul did? Paul was interesting. When Paul went to a town, the Bible says that people began to murmur and they were afraid, for they knew his past. Now watch what Paul did. Paul would walk up in the crowd and he would stand before them, and instead of pretending that he was perfect, everything was cool, he'd begin his speech this way. He would say, men and brethren of Athens and Galatia and Ephesus, I am Saul, who is now called Paul. I am he who used to hunt down Christians, and I am he who received papers to kill them, and I am he that destroyed their churches and their church houses. I am he who attacked them and killed them and scattered them. I am he. But thanks be unto God. Now listen, listen. See, we need to learn that lesson. We don't learn that lesson from Paul. See, once a man tells you publicly what you want to gossip about privately, he destroyed the gossip. As long as it is still in sip-sip country, it can be used against you. And that is why the Bible taught, when a man or a woman falls into sin, and believe me, friends, you know, as a leadership, I have been very, very negligent in this area recently. Them days are over now. If you fall into sin, and it's brought to my attention, you will be brought before this church. You listening to me? Clear? That's scriptural. The Bible says, if any man falls in, bring him before the brethren, so that he will be an example to those who are also liable to fall. But what it also does, it also destroys the gossip. See, God is smart. If you stand up and say, okay, I did mess up, and I did do this, y'all, please receive me and forgive me. I am sorry before God. How can you gossip about that? Deal with your past. Come on, tell your neighbor. Deal with your past so you can go to your future. Say it again. Deal with your past so you can go to... See, a lot of everybody in here have a great future. Your future is great. But you have to deal with your past to make sure it doesn't interfere. Everybody got a history they don't want you to know about. If it ever becomes necessary for you to deal with that, deal with it publicly. Thank God some things are forgiven and already forgotten. But if you get involved and you do something that affects the body of Christ and its witness in the community, then the church community must deal with that. Not the world, the community of the believers. Is that clear? Very important. Jesus forgave your past so he could salvage your future. Now, here's a scripture I want you to think about again. I am God, Isaiah 46, verse 9. I am God, there's no other. I am God and there's none like me. I make known the end from the beginning, and from ancient times what is yet to come. I say my purpose will stand. It's one of my favorite verses in the Bible that has brought me through these years. This verse is very important. Remember, I told you that your future is God's past. Well, this verse proves it. God says, I am God, there's none like me. Why? I'm the only God who sets the end before I begin. I finish things before I start them. I complete before I commence. In other words, God never begins anything at the beginning. He ends it first, and then he backs up and he starts. That means when God starts anything, he's already finished. It's very important to understand this. That means God completes your life first, and then he backs up and he starts your life. Which means that when he started your life, that is proof that it's already finished. So your future is actually God's past. He's already finished your future. Now he's backing up to start your beginning with the future already finished. He said, there's no other God who can do that. That's why that verse is important, eh? Very important verse. I am God and there's none like me. No other. I love it. Tell your neighbor, I'm finished. Say it again, I'm finished. The fact that you began is evidence that there's something finished that you were born to start. Selah. God don't allow anything to start unless it's already finished. That's what he said. I said the end before I begin. So that's why God doesn't panic about anything. You don't panic when you're finished. You only worry when you're not sure about the outcome. But if you already completed the outcome before you started, there's no need to worry. Can I hear an amen? That's why in your hand right now, you have a book that has the end and the beginning in it already. And we are somewhere in the middle, you know, down the central here, in a, kind of off center a little bit, because we are off into the beginning of the return. In other words, God is not concerned about what's happening in the world. He's already finished. So no matter how many people worry about religions growing and different sects growing and all these things going on, God said, look, I'm already finished. Don't worry about it. I'm already finished. So this is the principle of God. His confidence is in the fact that he's finished. Write this down. Only those who dare to fail greatly can ever achieve greatly. What makes a person daring to try great things? Because they know they're finished. Remember now, our session from Watch Night is dealing with how do you face the future with confidence. It's easy. Once you know that the future is already finished, you can then walk with confidence. It's no longer an experimentation. Are you with me? Now, something I found out about God, very interesting about God. God doesn't mind if you try things. But he has a way of getting you to go in the direction he wants you to go in eventually. You want you to say amen to that. See? In other words, some of us ain't sure what God wanted for our future right now. But that's no problem. So God let you try this and try that and try this. And then, you know, you keep balking your top. Balk your top? He said balk. In other words, you try something and it ain't work. And so, you know, you try this and they say, oh, this worked. And you go through that door, you see. And God will get you eventually to where he wants you to go through the experiences of the mistakes and the closed doors and the locked doors. He'll eventually get you where he wants you. Why? He loves you. And he doesn't drag you to your destiny. He gives you the privilege of deciding every step along the way. And he gives you wisdom, insight, and sometimes even bring people who irritate you to get you in the right place. Can I hear an amen? And some of the greatest problems you are afraid of have come to direct you to your destiny. See, some of you right now, I believe, are in the bush. Let me explain. You are in the bush with some smelly sheep. Things don't look good. You're in a situation where this is terrible, Lord. I already dreamt something, but this is not what I dreamt. This is bush business. And the company I'm keeping is smelly people. And then, oh boy, should I say this? And then the Lord brings an authority into your life in the bush. An authority says, give you some instructions. And the authority says, I want you to take this bag of lunch to your brothers. Now, see, sometimes you disobey authority, and the authority is setting you up. Some folks don't understand pastoring. Pastoring is to train the saints for the work of their ministry. But you got to submit to that authority. Suppose David, I'm referring to him, you know that, had said to his daddy, I ain't going. I'm going to disobey my parents. I ain't going taking no lunch to no brothers. I'm busy. I know what I want. I want to do something else. He could have disobeyed his father. But do you know that waiting at the other end of that instruction was a big giant who was born to send him to the throne? This is too deep for you. But it started with a simple instruction from an authority. And the instruction did not say, go to your brothers, there's a giant that you must kill, and afterward you will be have favor with the king, and then you shall become king. No, it just simply says, take some lunch. See, the instruction that sometimes doesn't sound too deep, doesn't sound too powerful, like you got this powerful dream, I'm powerful. It's just take some lunch. We normally meet our destiny casually, under obedience. Hallelujah. There are a couple of people who got married under my connections. You know, Pastor Richard was one of them. We were students. You didn't know Sheena. Come on, let's be deep about this. He and I were friends. Came home, right? And you know, I knew Ruth Ann. Introduced. I didn't know what was going to happen. Now we got two children later. In other words, I wonder if some of you are looking for a spouse, and Pastor Richard is the connection. He may tell you to do something in the next seminar coming up. Or in the conference in August. He may tell you, work in this area. You go, I don't work there. I'm too busy. And the person you're supposed to meet flying in with $1 million in their lives, supposed to meet you at that spot and marry you. But you disobey the authority in a simple instruction. Come on, say amen. See? Sometimes the things you desire are through a simple instruction. You got to be willing to take a big chance to do great things. The security of the future. I want you to write this down, Ephesians chapter 1. I am so secure in my future, I can't wait to get there. And I'm not concerned with anything. Look at what it says in Ephesians 1, verse 3. Praise be to God and the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us, past tense, in the heavenly realms with every spiritual blessing, for he chose us in him before the creation of the world to be holy and blameless in his sight. In love, he predestined us. You should underline that verse in your Bible. It's probably one of the most beautiful verses in Scripture. First of all, he says, I praise God. Why? Because he's the Father. He's the source of our Lord Jesus Christ. And this source has already blessed you. He had already blessed you with every spiritual blessing. Where? In the heavenly realm. This is an incredible statement. Paul says, look, everything you will need to be successful was already prepared before you was conceived. I'm trying to determine how deep I should go into this. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Okay. Follow me carefully. This is very, very critical. If you read this verse, you see something here. It says, he hath already blessed you, past tense, with every spiritual blessing. Where? I can't hear you. Where is it? Okay. So everything you need, he hath already blessed you with it. But it's hidden in the unseen world. The next verse says, therefore, he chose you. King James Version. In other words, God prepared what you would need before he conceived you. What a burden I carry. Comprende? Comprende? I understand? That's German. It means, do you understand? Listen. God is deep. Now remember, Isaiah 46 makes sense. He says he finished everything first. Then he backed up and started you. But if he finished everything first, that means everything that you need to finish, he finished that too. Then he backed up and started you. So you started broke, but you got everything. I don't understand. Now Paul understood it. Paul picks it up. Paul says, look, before he chose you, he already put on reserve everything you would need. I'm talking. I don't want you to be spiritual about this. I want you to be practical about this. That means everything you need for 2004 already exists. Somebody got it. They're holding on to your stuff. And when you need it, it's supposed to come to you. If you don't understand this, you spend most of your life fretting, worrying, tension, high blood pressure, stress, growths, cysts, cancer, dead. It was Paul who wrote in the book of Philippians. He says, look, in all things I am content, whether I am in plenty or in lack. Why? Because my God shall supply, same chapter, all that I need according to his bank account. In other words, Paul said, look, I don't worry about nothing because everything's already worried for. It's a new word, eh? Worried for. He had already blessed you with every spiritual blessing. Is trapped in the heavenly realms. Now, here's what I had to learn. Boy, I'm giving you my real heart now. I had to learn this. I had to learn, how do you get the stuff out of the unseen that belongs to you into the seen? That's the challenge. How do you get it out? Well, it's not difficult to understand. Very simple. Try it. Okay. I have a son. And before he was born, I tell my wife, okay, we're going to put aside $50,000 for his college tuition before he's born. Okay, so now let's have a baby. In other words, we put the thing aside first, then we have the baby. Now when the baby comes, the baby is a baby. College begins at 18 years old. So now for 18 years it's already there, but he don't need it yet. In other words, he has $50,000 that belongs to him, but it doesn't move because what it is reserved for is not ready to draw down on it yet. Only a few gonna get me. There are some things that God put aside for this year before the earth was, and it belonged to 2004. And God's been waiting for this year for you to get to a certain spot where you draw down on the stuff. Oh, you understand me? And here you are worrying about this bill and that bill and how much. And God's saying, hey. Just position yourself. Kanamurata. Oh, I feel like screaming all by myself. Excuse me. See, I have come today to tell you everything you need is history to God. So how do you pull your unseen reserves to the seen? By the assignment. It comes when it is needed That's why it seems so hard to get. I love that prophecy today. Lord, you know, I appreciate that. The prophecy says you ain't got to push nothing. Because when the time comes for God to expose you, even those who are jealous of me, it says, shall open the door with the jealousy. You don't want, in other words, whatever is yours, when the time comes, whoever got it, say it, give it up, 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 give it up. Say it loud. Give it up, give it up, give it up, give it up. Lift your hands and just call it now, call it now. Give it up, give it up, give it up. Hallelujah, brother. Oh, Edward, see, let me tell you something. Lift your hand here, everybody. Come on, just obey the authority for a second. Say it loud. Everything that belongs to me in 2004, come now. Go ahead and praise him. It's coming. It's coming. Listen, girl. Sometimes you push so hard. You say, God, why? Because this ain't 2003 stuff. Oh, you missed it. That's why it's so tough. Because this ain't the year for it. He said, but you stepped over now. Here comes the blessing for 2004. Already reserved. And that's why sometimes you become so discouraged. Because you're trying so hard to get this thing done. And it ain't a matter of God not wanting it to happen. But it's the wrong year. Holy Spirit, say it again. Lift it up. Say, Lord, everything reserved for this year, give it up now. Come to me. Move toward me now. Hallelujah. This year. Notice this verse is deep. It says, because he has set those things aside, therefore he chose you. That's another thing you got to think about. In other words, God set aside everything you will need, young woman. Everything you need, young man, he set it aside before you was even conceived. And then he conceived you because they were set aside. God got some stuff and made you just to use it up. I don't understand the God. This is deep, man. Your blessings are not ahead of you. They're behind you. But you pull them toward you as you walk in his will, step day by day. They come. And therefore, everything you need is going to come and is going to look for you. I like what God told Moses. He said, tell the people, first of all, obey me. Keep my commandments. Obey my law. He says, and all of these blessings shall come upon you. He says, and they shall chase you down and overtake. But you got to do what? Obey. Get in his assignment. Last year, God gave us, we attracted a blessing. A big one. An airplane. No struggle. No fight, no begging. Matter of fact, the thing chased us down. I was running from the phone call. Everybody ran, the phone call was already there. By the time I got the phone call, the lady says, they are looking for you everywhere. We can't find you. I said, for what? I believe this year, you about to be smothered by 2004 blessings. They're going to be so much. You can, anybody want to receive that in Jesus' name? I receive an overtaking blessing. A blessing that overtakes me. Anybody ready for that kind of open door? Hallelujah. He chose you, therefore, because he's reserved these things before the world began. Look at verse 11. In him you were also chosen, having been predestined according to the plan of him who works out everything in conformity with the purpose of his will for your life. Oh, what a loaded verse. Your future is easy for God. Look at this. In him you also chosen. How? Having been predestined. Predestined means destination set before beginning. That's all it means. Predestined. But it says according to what? The plan. Everybody say the plan. Now it doesn't say a plan. Can I hear an amen? I feel like I need something. I know what I need. What I need. Yeah. Everybody say a plan and the plan. God says, I have set. Oh, that's interesting. I better not use that. A plan. I want to do a demonstration to show you how this works. God says, I have preset your destination. Then I backed up and I started your life. Baby born, conceive. He said, now your future is already finished. And I have a plan to get you there. Okay, let me try it again. Your purpose is your destination. The plan is the route. Now he said, read it. He says, I predestinated you, and then I did it according to the plan. God has a way to get you to your destination. He has a way to get you to your future. Lord have mercy. There's a way. It's not just the future. There's a way also he set for it. Now God will always tell you your destiny. You'll always see these big dreams. You'll see these big things. Isaiah 46 says what? I set the end before the beginning, and then I make known at the beginning what is yet to come. In other words, he tells you the destination. But what he doesn't ever tell you Oh, praise God. Turn the mic up, please. I'm struggling too much with this sound. Listen, God says, I set your future. I set a route to get you there. I'll tell you the future, but I'm not going to tell you the route. Do you know why? Because you are at the beginning. And the end, the future, the purpose, is you finished. Quick, Miles, hurry up, teach. Okay. Listen, please get this tape so you can hear it 10 times to figure it out. Okay. So God says, look, I have finished your future. I begin you. Now when I begin you, you don't look anything like your future. You're not ready for that future. You ain't got the maturity and the dignity and the experience and the wisdom for that future. So I got to work out a route to prepare you for the future. Are you with me? In other words, the plan is not to keep you from the future, but to prepare you for that future. I'm telling you, that is why he won't tell you about the plan. In the heart, man makes the plans, but God directs the steps. The what? Steps. The what? Steps. He don't tell you any more than the next step. And the plan is not really to keep you from the future. It's to prepare you for it. Because the future God made for you demands a great woman, a mature man, a wise woman, an excellent man. And right now you ain't that.
Yes.
Oh, talk to me. So God has this whole plan set up. Lord have mercy. And he got all these things. Have mercy now. He got all these things set up. 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 And you call them traps. He call them training. He got it set up. All these things set up. Hey? And the first one, they tear off your clothes. Your own family tear off your clothes. The next one, they put you in the pit. Boy, I didn't plan for this. God said, I know. But I need to work on your maturity. Next one, they put you in prison. He said, yeah, but you see, there's a plan. The fella in prison going to introduce you to your purpose. Now, let's be honest. If God told Joseph, you will be on a throne, ruling, serving your family, feeding the whole nation, great king. Ooh, yippee, yip, yippee, yippee. However, here's the route. Joe will say, keep your throne and your money. I'm going to stay right here and be a shepherd of smelly sheep. He works out everything. He works out what? Everything. To conform. He works out everything. To conform. He works out everything to conform. Now, don't miss this. He works out how many things?
Everything.
See, don't watch this. Very important now. He has this plan worked out for you. But you decide to do something dumb. You get pregnant. So you're going off course. See? You're off course. And you go to this alley for 9 months. And you shamed and everything. And everyone talking about you. Or you get off into drugs and do something dumb. Drug abuse and everybody talking about you. God said, oh, what you doing in the alley here? He said, look, I forgive you. He says, and then he says, he makes everything. Not just the good things. You ought to give him praise. He says, I want you to bring the baby. I'm going to conform it back. Bring the baby. Don't leave the baby. I'm going to wake the baby in. He's a good God. He said, look, bring your drug addiction. Bring it, bring it. Why? I'm going to work it in as a testimony. Woo, Lord have mercy. I'm going to show them that I can make a drug addict into a world changer. It doesn't matter where you've been, what you did, or who you've been with. He wants to conform it back into the purpose of his will for your life. You ought to shout and praise him. He wants all your garbage. He wants all your sins. He'll work it in. Praise God. He conforms it to his will. Conform means he makes it fit. Oh, you don't understand. Someday you say, how am I ever going to face them again? God said, forget them. I'm going to conform this thing I'm going to make you an envy of all those who are criticizing you. I don't know. But you got to respond correctly. You got to respond correctly. That plan. Some of you are in the middle of a pit right now. You say, Pastor Miles, this ain't what I saw. Where I am right now working, this ain't what I saw. The person I with, this ain't what I saw. What I doing, this ain't what I saw. What I wearing, this ain't what I saw. What I driving, this ain't what I saw. God said, yeah, but I want you to drive that for a while. I got a